I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, as riots reach Seattle, the city's police chief has made it clear whose side he's on. Plus, we asked, you delivered, viewers sent us a sampling of what's happening in their children's public schools during this Pride Month. And it was, what, just a couple months ago that Governor Gavin Newsom said he did think it was unfair for boys to play against girls in sports, but now he's suing the Trump administration to make sure that it keeps happening. Weird. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month. And for two more days, you can take advantage of our 30% off deal. Help us reach our goal of adding 300 new paid subscribers. We are nearly there. We're just a couple dozen away. So you can use the promo code 300. That's the number 300 at patreon.com/undivided. That's patreon.com/undivided. Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Well, I dragged my ass down to the federal building in Seattle last night to check out the anti-ICE protests. I learned a few things. I'm too old for this shit. Way too old. I should have left my protest covering days in 2020. It's good to be there occasionally. I don't think I'm going to make a practice out of going to every single Antifa riot, because there's only so much running chasing that I can tolerate. And they were dumping orange Gatorade on me, which is gross and sticky and hard to get out of things. Anyway, but in all seriousness, the riots have reached Seattle, as we knew they would. I mean, we can hardly go a week in Seattle without some form of a riot. And so when things escalated in California over the weekend, we certainly knew it would only be a matter of time. And we had already seen, really for a month, these activists who would show up at these immigration hearings, obviously coordinating with, public defenders to know when these hearings were happening. And they would try to block ICE from being able to get the detainees out. So that is what they were efforting yesterday at the federal building. I saw some of this developing while we were on the show, and so I reached out to our friend Katie Davis-Court, who was on scene, who's an independent journalist, and she was down there, and she said, yeah, I think this is going to escalate. And so went down there right after the show, and basically what they did, so this is about 2nd and Marion in downtown Seattle. There's four or five garage entrances, so in and out of the federal building. And what they did is they stole a bunch of Lime bikes and scooters and other things that they could find, and they stacked them up to barricade the entrances and exits. And what, this group thought that would accomplish is stopping ICE and Homeland Security investigations from being able to get their detainees out of the building. Of course, they found other ways to get them out of the building, so a lot of this was for naught. But they did it anyway. There was a lot of anti-cop, anti-ICE graffiti. I saw moments where there were some employees of the federal building who were trying to get out, weren't able to do so, or were harassed upon leaving. I was told by an employee of the federal building this morning that about midday yesterday, employees were told that they could go work from home if they felt more comfortable. And then they got another email last night telling them they did not have to come into the federal building today and they could continue to work from home if that was feasible. So certainly there is some disruption down there. Now, one of the things that I think I took away from being down there for a few hours, I think I was down there till 10 p.m. last night, and I'll show you some of the, clashes that ultimately happened in a moment. But it is just clear that in Seattle, there is a certain level of vandalism and violence that's going to just be tolerated. And that doesn't bode well, considering there are some other protests, quote unquote, protest plan for later this week. I mean, and I think we've gotten used to this over the years where they can break windows, they can graffiti, they can, take garbage cans and dumpsters and Lime bikes and all these things and stack them up and light them on fire. And they're just going to get away with it. Break windows, whatever. They're just going to get away with it. I'm not okay with that. But apparently our city's okay with that. And if you're going to excuse that level of violence and vandalism and disorder, that's when it quickly devolves into something much, much worse, to the point where you can't get a hold of it anymore. So there were some clashes at the federal building. So there's, I think it's FPS, the Federal Protective Service. So they're basically tasked with protecting federal property and federal structures. There was also some HSI, and then a brief moment where the Seattle Police Department came in. So I just want to play you some of the confrontations that happened throughout the afternoon and evening at the federal building in downtown Seattle yesterday. Police trying to move their makeshift barricade, which they quickly replaced with more stolen line boxes. And forgive some of the swearing, I haven't bleeped it. Me choking because I'm too old for this shit. They had been deploying some OC canisters, less lethal, some munitions. Totally emboldened crowd. Totally emboldened. So the only confrontations that really happened is when it was really nothing proactive from police or from federal law enforcement agencies. It was really when they were trying to sort of specifically accomplish something that they go out and do it. For instance, there was a moment out front when you saw them. I think it was spraying all those pepper balls is what it looked and smelled a lot like. Because this guy had been picking up these chunks of concrete and trying to break windows with him. And so they went out, tried to arrest him. He got away. But then that's when you saw some of these confrontations. They were pulling these metal grates out of the ground and carrying them toward this big, tall thing of glass. And so federal agents came out, took the grates, and then there were more confrontations there. I was told they were able to get their detainees out of the building, and so certainly it didn't interfere. I mean, it slowed it down, but the Trump administration and HSI and ICE, they're going to continue to move forward with deportations and all of their work, so there's no sign that these confrontations are going to stop anytime soon. I do want to say, while I was down there, our friend Andrea Suarez with We Heart Seattle, this pissed me right off. She goes, she lives in the area. She came down, and I saw her briefly, and they immediately assaulted her. Immediately. They hit her in the face while trying to, I think, swat her phone out of her hand a few times. And I actually have the video from my angle and from Andrea's angle, because she was taping when this happened. And you can kind of hear me because I was taping something else. And then you'll hear me shout like, hey, because I see what's happening to Andrea. So here's that video.
Go back to your condo on Second Ave.
A lot of swearing, so.
Fucking bitch.
Oh, my God, you're so
get the hell out of here!
Go!
Get the fuck over here!
Go!
Get the fuck over here, soul-ass! This is so bad!
Get out of here.
I mean, clear assault.
You're assaulting. Where's the fucking cops? There are no cops here. This is
Do you hear that? She says, where are the cops? They said, there are no cops here. This is Antifa land. And that's true. I mean, that's true.
Don't tell homeless people to kidnap you, bitch!
Run it over!
I mean, these people are really, truly unhinged. They're not good human beings. You know, the Antifa, they're absolutely awful. I mean, they're so willing to assault people. You know, to assault police officers. It was interesting. I had a longer conversation with one of these, I would say, criminal rioters. I mean, the point where you're participating, they want to act like we're just protesting. We're not hurting anyone. And I'm pointing at the vandalism, the violence that's occurred, and they might individually not have hurt anyone, but you're participating in a group protest, started as a group protest that has devolved into criminal activity. But I talked to her for a while and we had a good conversation. I mean, she was crying, telling me the story about, and I can't independently verify this, but she claims her father has lived in the U.S. for 50 years and was recently deported. And he was here illegally, and she was born here, so she's legal. And I felt for her. I think, you know, you have to have, I have a heart, you know, and so anybody's dad who gets shipped off, I think she said Sudan, he's back in Sudan or something. So I definitely feel for her, but I talked to her a little bit about my concern about the violence and the vandalism and the escalation and all of that, and we sort of had a conversation about it. So it's always good to sort of, but you know, what I took from that conversation is, they'll find any way to justify what they're doing. If you point out all the vandalism, they'll say, yeah, but that's not as bad as people being taken off the streets and, you know, shipped out of the country. Or you'll point to the, you know, assault of federal agents and they'll say, well, they assaulted us. They'll find any way to justify what they're doing. So it really is kind of fruitless. So all of this is happening. Meanwhile, NBC was the first to report that in response to not only what's happening in California, but certainly what started to happen in Seattle, there's Chicago, New York last night, ICE and the federal government are directing some more tactical units to come here and to be on standby.
Breaking just moments ago, NBC News reporting that ICE is preparing to deploy tactical units known as special response teams to five Democratic-run cities. Those cities, Seattle, Chicago, Philadelphia, Northern Virginia, and New York. It's not clear if these raids will begin immediately, but all special response teams in those areas have been told to be ready to deploy.
Yeah, so our understanding is that would be not only to help guard federal buildings against rioters and help protect federal agents, but also to help carry out some of the immigration efforts. Because what you're seeing are these hostile crowds where you have HSI trying to conduct lawful immigration enforcement, and they're being surrounded and harassed. They're being doxxed online. We'll have more on that in a moment, including by a police agency, which is very, very concerning. So the tactical units would help the ICE agents who are trying to focus on finding individuals, arresting individuals, and give them a little bit of cover. So they're on their way to Seattle, probably already here. A reminder that tonight, this very, I mean, it's an Antifa group, essentially, is planning unrest. And they call it a protest, but these are the people who riot. And there's only one reason you'd have a quote-unquote protest in the heart of what used to be the autonomous zone at 7 p.m., right? So it's just a recipe for disaster. They're basically saying they're going to fight back against Trump's reign of terror. Because again, as we said yesterday, they believe literally they're fighting Hitler. So what kind of tactics they're going to use to fight back against Trump's reign of terror, we can only imagine. They absolutely want the Trump administration to respond because they want to be able to act like victims. And they're going to be able to act like victims because our so-called leaders are giving them cover right now as we speak to act like victims. We talked on the show yesterday about Attorney General Nick Brown, who's supposed to be the state's chief law enforcer, who's on the news calling Trump a fascist, authoritarian dictator. So he's excusing the behavior that these rioters are going to engage in because he's convinced them they're literally fighting fascists, they're fighting Hitler, etc. And honestly, it gets, I expect it from Nick Brown. He's a politician. Shouldn't be anywhere near anything resembling law enforcement because he clearly is taking the side of criminals. But get this. So the new SPD chief was going through his confirmation process in the city of Seattle. He was before the Seattle City Council yesterday taking some questions. This guy, Sean Barnes, this is the one who like failed his polygraph exam, right? In a different agency or maybe when he was coming to Seattle PD. So I don't know how he was allowed to be the chief in the first place, but he was an out-of-state hire. And they'll only hire somebody that isn't white. And so they've got to make sure like all the finalists, I think, were black. And look, there could be plenty of qualified people who are black to be the police chief of Seattle, like Carmen Best. But more and more, it just seems like the color of your skin is a key factor in determining who they're going to name the police chief. So SPD Chief Sean Barnes, he was asked a question about, you know, basically how he's going to protect people from federal overreach and stuff. Listen to what he said.
The federal government's decision to bring in the military, and I was a Marine, is not warranted. The Los Angeles Police Department have dealt with protests for a very long time. I can assure you they can handle it. Just like if there are protests in Seattle, we can handle it. We have mutual aid, we have operational plans, and as the young folks would say, we're not new to this. We know how to handle this. And I will do everything in my power, I want to be clear, to protect anyone in Seattle from anyone who comes to this city with the intention to hurt them or inhibit their First Amendment rights. And what that means is, at some point, I will probably go to jail and be in prison.
Good God, give me
because
great.
We have an administration that has threatened to jail politicians and indeed has done so in Milwaukee, if you remember that, and has threatened to jail a governor, I'm just a simple public servant. That's all I am.
Good Lord.
That's all I am. I'm just a simple public servant. But I'm going to do the right thing for the people in Seattle. And I would hope that's your expectation of me. And I hope that you will hold me accountable to that. Whatever happens, happens.
Whatever happens, happens. Let me, on behalf of all sane people, apologize to every single member of the Seattle Police Department that that is the man who you have to work for. That's absurd. You know, I'm ready to be arrested by Donald Trump. Saying that on the same day that you have left-wing rioters trying to successfully barricading themselves around the federal building, having clashes with law enforcement, including, by the way, your SPD officers. So whose side are you on? I mean, you're inviting. Now you have a police chief who is making it very clear that he's on the side of criminal rioters. Because that's what it devolves into every time. Oh, don't worry about the protests. We have that handled. But Donald Trump, I'll go to prison. What, for what? If Donald Trump continues to carry out lawful immigration actions here? If Donald Trump sends in ICE tactical teams to do what you're not allowing your officers to do and to prevent vandalism and violence and protect life and property, what are you even talking about? And then he mentions there, oh, he's arrested people before. Remember in Milwaukee? That was the judge who was arrested by the FBI and faces federal charges for interfering in an immigration arrest. Remember the judge that went out to distract federal agents and directed a wanted illegal alien out the back door so he could escape. So what that tells me, Seattle Police Chief Sean Barnes, that are you willing to do that? Are you going to interfere? Because you're basically saying that Trump was wrong. The way that you worded that is that you think Trump was wrong or out of spite or hate or political reasons arrested this judge in Milwaukee. The judge interfered with a law enforcement investigation. So are you sending the message that you're perfectly fine with people interfering with law enforcement investigations? Because I don't know if you knew this, you're a police chief. And your officers are out there conducting law enforcement investigations every day. Are you telling me you would be fine? Let's give an example. Your Seattle police officers find out that there's a wanted felon who has a hearing on something unrelated at the King County Courthouse. Rapist. They show up to arrest him and a King County judge helps the guy sneak out the back door. Would you be okay with that? Of course you wouldn't be okay with that. But we should be okay with it if the person happens to be in the country illegally? Regardless of what they did? Are you kidding me? And you're the police chief of the city of Seattle? What an absolute clown. And it doesn't stop there. This is virtue signaling overload right now, leading up to what will be destructive riots in the city of Seattle. It's completely unavoidable. Because even the one person who I thought we could trust to be sane in the city of Seattle leadership tree has proven that she is now going to cater to the left-wing mob as well. Ann Davison, Ann, you are bumming me right out. Ann Davison, who ran for city attorney as a Republican because the Democratic Party was so unhinged, they alienated her because she wasn't anti-cop. She actually wanted to crack down on crime. So she left the Democratic Party, became a Republican, won the Seattle City Attorney's office on the platform of being hard on crime. And now here's what she's saying, totally prostrating herself to the Democrats to try to get reelected. I will always stand up for the rule of law and Seattle's values, defending against unlawful Trump administration actions. This was a little graphic her team put out. And of course, they're suing the Trump administration over their threats to withhold money from sanctuary jurisdictions. And as I've said, and what Ann has messaged on the news is, oh, we're not hurting ICE. We're just not going to help them. We're just not going to help them. Not helping them is hurting. Because as we've said over and over, what you are doing, you're actually making your community less safe in a lot of ways, but even less safe for immigrants. For those people you can't claim to care about who, yeah, they came here illegally, but they're just working. They haven't committed any new law violations. We don't want the Trump administration rounding it up. You're making it more likely they will get arrested by the Trump administration. Because when you have sanctuary policies, your police, your jails, they can't cooperate with ICE at all. So when ICE is looking for someone, instead of being able to go get them in a jail or being handed off by law enforcement in a safe setting, they're being released back out into the communities. You think they're not hanging around with other illegal aliens? So now ICE sends out a tactical team to go arrest them, and they're going to arrest every other person who's there illegally, even people who haven't committed new law violations. So your sanctuary policies are actually making it more likely that the people you claim you want to protect end up in the custody of ICE and deported from this country. And also, some of the people who've been arrested in Seattle by ICE, they have taken child rapists off the streets in the last few months. They have taken men who traffic in child pornography off the streets. They've taken people with murder convictions in their home nations off the streets. Domestic abusers. All measure, people who assault your police officers, Seattle. They've arrested them, detained them, deported them, which does what? It improves public safety in the city of Seattle, which should be the city attorney's main mission, right? Should be the Seattle Police Department's main mission, right? They've taken drug traffickers off the street. You're welcome. You know all the drug abuse and related crime that you deal with on a daily basis, Ann Davison, in the Seattle Police Department? That has ruined downtown Seattle and the Chinatown International District? Guess who's been out there doing actual meaningful drug enforcement? The federal government, the DEA, in combination and coordination with ICE. And some of the drug traffickers are in the country illegally, from China, from the Philippines, from Mexico, from Central America. You should be literally thanking them. You should be bending over backward to help them, because ultimately they're making the community more safe and they're making it more safe for your police officers. And instead, you grandstand and you virtue signal. And I know Anne is a sane person. So the only reason for doing this is because she feels compelled to do it to keep her job. She feels compelled to do it to get reelected. And so now what you're saying to me, Anne, and I should really call her and have a conversation because I like Anne quite a bit. What you're saying to me and to others who have a brain is that you care more about getting reelected than keeping Seattle safe. And if that's the case, then what's the point? What's the point? So the one person we thought we could count on to be sane, gone woke on us. Meanwhile, Bob Ferguson, we already know, whatever Trump does is bad. This from the Washington State Standard. Ferguson prepares for possibility of Trump deploying troops in Washington. The governor planned to meet with the state's top military official Tuesday after President sent National Guard and Marines to respond to the Los Angeles protests. He says he's called a meeting, happened yesterday with the state's top military official, about what's happening in Los Angeles. And then, of course, whether and what we would do if it were to happen here. Ferguson said in a statement, it's deeply disturbing. He's escalating the situation. It's resulting in more violence because of the president calling in the National Guard over the governor's objection. And that's exactly what Donald Trump wants. My job as governor is to make sure we're as prepared as we possibly can be. Yeah, I mean, the last governor wanted us to believe that he was prepared. And then when he was asked about the takeover of six square blocks of a city, including a police precinct, he said, that's news to me. And Bob Ferguson instills no faith that he's ready for anything that's going to happen, considering every time there's been left-wing extremism so far this year, which has been multiple times because it's a matter of course in the state of Washington, he hasn't said anything about it. So he'll talk more about what Donald Trump might do than he'll say about what's actually happening right now. You think he put out a statement about what was happening at the federal building in Seattle yesterday? Of course not. These people don't care about left-wing political violence. They only care about what can further their political agenda. They're willing to let people die. They're willing to let businesses be destroyed and looted. They're willing to let police officers die. Literally, they're willing to let police officers die if they can keep their jobs and convince voters that they're fighting some righteous holy battle against Donald Trump, who's Hitler reincarnate. That's genuinely what they believe, and that's what they're doing. And yes, I mean that. Seattle Police Chief Sean Barnes is willing to let Seattle police officers die this weekend. Seattle City Attorney Ann Davison kills me. It hurts me right here to say it. She's willing to let Seattle police officers die this weekend. If you want to come on and tell me otherwise, you're welcome to. Governor Bob Ferguson is willing to let police officers die this weekend. All of them are willing to let businesses be destroyed, businesses be looted, and Antifa wreak chaos and burn things this weekend, and that's what's going to happen. And they don't care because all they care about is orange man bad, virtue signaling to their progressive voters. It is disgusting. It is a shame. And anything that happens is on them. The key is, how do we get voters to understand that? I will say, I was watching when I was down at the federal building. This is a pretty tourist-heavy area. There's some hotels in there. It was fascinating to watch these tourists. You could tell they're tourists, right? Like, what is happening? Looking at this, and Antifa, and all, they're all black and their umbrellas, and they'd look confused, and they say, do you know what's happening? And I said, yeah, that's Antifa. And one of them was from the South and thought, oh my gosh, I hear about Antifa in Seattle, but now I'm in Seattle and I'm literally watching Antifa and this is a real thing. And I said, yeah, they're like, so they just let them do that? God, where was this guy from? Georgia, I think. He's like, they're just, how long have they been doing this? And I said, hours. They've been out there for like 7 hours. And this guy was just like, and then there's this waft in the air of the OC gas and stuff. And I'm like, you know, you better go back in your hotel because you're not going to like it once that hits you. And he just was stunned. I mean, literally like jaw dropped. Couldn't believe that they just let them do this for hours. This is insane. It's not normal. They're holding signs saying this is not normal, referring to Donald Trump and immigration policy. But what they're not doing is normal, yet we live in a place that has normalized it for so long. It's absolutely insane. And then I mentioned, Sean Barnes and the Seattle police chief. And now he's just feeding into the left-wing political violence, justifying it, making about Donald Trump, all of these things. Check out this post from the Granger Police Department. To me, DHS should be investigating them. Remember when the ICE raids were first starting in earnest under Donald Trump and people were leaking? There still are. But that's when they started leaking the locations of the ICE raids. And there were, you know, people saying, go there, harass ICE, don't let ICE leave. I mean, this has created a very dangerous situation for these federal law enforcement agents who are being doxxed, who are being harassed, who are being assaulted, who are being followed home. So with that in mind, look at this. Granger Police Department, which is by Yakima, a huge Hispanic population. They posted this yesterday. Information, the Granger Police Department received calls today regarding an ICE raid that is supposed to occur in the Yakima Valley. The Granger Police Department has no information on when or where. Please be advised, Granger police officers will not aid federal ICE agents. And then they have it in Spanish as well. So they are warning the community in advance about a lawful immigration raid. That's the police department. Even knowing that that could create a dangerous situation that could put the lives of ICE agents in jeopardy. What kind of police department are you? So who has our back now? Not the Seattle police chief. You think he's going to direct his officers to protect people? Absolutely not. Even Granger Police Department. Not only are we not going to cooperate with ICE, we're going to warn people about when ICE is going to be in our communities so they can, what, arm themselves? I mean, probably flee and hide. But you don't think, given all this violence, that some of them are going to act out? I mean, look what Caroline Leavitt was talking about LA, the arrests that have happened. These aren't just down in LA, like American citizens, you know, standing up for immigrants. A lot of them are criminal illegal aliens who are showing up fighting, hurting ICE agents who already have criminal convictions.
There have been 330 illegal aliens that have been arrested as part of these riots in Los Angeles. 113 of those illegal aliens had prior criminal convictions. And overall, and this includes arrests of American citizens, there's been 157 people arrested for assault and obstruction-related charges, including the attempted murder of a police officer with a Molotov cocktail. So who is funding these illegal aliens who are coming in with this very professional riot gear? It's a question everyone in this room who cares about truth should be asking. And we encourage your help in trying to get to the bottom of that question.
Yeah, more to the point what we're talking about, though. Like, they're trying to kill cops with Molotov cocktails. They're trying to murder federal... You guys... They're trying to murder federal immigration agents, okay? And we have local police departments who are helping them do it, who stand ready to notify the community when a police department, when ICE is coming, so they can all gear up and arm themselves with Molotov cocktails and hurt federal immigration agents who are just trying to do their jobs by law, under law. This is a terrifying situation. Who stands with us? Who stands with the innocent citizens of this country and of this state and of the city of Seattle who don't deserve to have their property vandalized, who don't deserve to be assaulted while they're walking down the streets, who don't deserve to live in fear like they did for a full month in the summer of 2020 in their own communities? Because now I don't even know. It's like everyone else, whatever side Trump's on, all of them over there. So be damned what happens to the rest of us. So now the police department isn't even on the side of law-abiding citizens. The city attorney's not even on the side of law-abiding citizens and protecting them. The attorney general of the state of Washington isn't on the side of law-abiding civilians. The governor isn't on the side of law-abiding civilians. So who? There's no one there for you. There's no one there to protect you. This is insane. I'm so scared about what's going to happen this weekend and even tonight in the city of Seattle, because they are all, the leadership is cowardice. They're total cowards. And if Donald Trump shows up, it's all going to be about Donald Trump and the focus on vilifying federal agents, vilifying the National Guard if Trump calls them in, vilifying active duty military. So it'll be everyone against them. This is a terrifying situation. It's only getting worse. Shame on every single elected so-called leader who is helping justify the riots by virtue signaling about Donald Trump. Every single thing that happens will be your fault. Every single thing that happens. Unreal. Unreal. We'll talk a little more about what happened in California as those riots entered a fifth day coming up in national, but I want to get to some Pride Month stuff so we can take a break. I was going to say take a break from the insanity, but there never is a break from the insanity, is there? Before that, I have lost 45 pounds through the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic program. I never get tired of the compliment saying, Brandy, you look great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I feel great. I do feel so great. Again, 45 pounds total. Started this 2.5 years ago. Lost the bulk of that in the first 60 days, which is the best feeling, because I think one of the hardest things about any weight loss program is you're just like, oh my gosh, you're trying so hard and you're losing weight so slowly. This is a metabolic reset. They help you figure out what to eat in the right portions to shed excess body fat quickly, and then to put you on the path toward just living a healthier life and having a better relationship with food, which is something I think I've really struggled with. I talked about on the show yesterday, a lot of food insecurity from childhood, I think, contributed to my weight ups and downs. But man, I'm almost back to my fighting weight. By fighting weight, I mean my like 2020 rioting weight, which is the only time I've really had to fight against anyone. And I'm feeling great. I mean, I'm down to like almost my goal, like my ultimate goal weight. I'm 4 pounds away from, which is cool. I haven't been that weight since I was in my 20s. So EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. Schedule a free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan and his team to see if the program is right for you. All right. We asked, you delivered. We said, hey, it's Pride Month. You know, they're going to be doing a bunch of unhinged things in your child's school. So take note of it and then send it to us. And you did. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. Dun, 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 dun. First of all, any Pride Month stuff that happens in public schools is insane, because it shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't be having some celebration of sexuality in our public schools, shouldn't be flying flags, shouldn't be doing any of that. But let's just tick through some of these things. They'll get more crazy as we go on. So let's start in the Stanwood Camano Island School District. They had a booth, the school district did, at the local Pride Festival, where they had a kids coloring activity, where kids could color some nice rainbow art. And now it's being displayed in the school. And, you know, maybe this one's slightly harmless. You know, kids coloring, as I said, it's going to get less harmless as we move forward here. Stanwood Camano Island School District. The Pride, the booth at Pride, I think, is the weird thing. Like,
why is it necessary?
Because then you have children coloring rainbows. And it's just like, why is it?
Are we paying somebody, our tax dollars, paying someone to sit at this booth at the Pride Festival?
And to buy a booth, because booths aren't free, right?
And then just let kids color rainbows on
this. Yeah, it says, be loud, be proud, be free. Fine, okay. But the person who sent it to us says they've reached out to the board president for the school district asking about this. So thank you for sending us that. Let's move on. All right, Bellingham Pride in middle school. School hallways. Here's what middle schoolers in Bellingham are seeing right now. Every single sexual orientation flag you could dream up is there. Let's see. My son texted me pics of his middle school hallway this morning because the flags went up yesterday. They included the Pride Progress flag, lesbians, bisexual, and the MLM flag, which is men loving men. She said, She said, I had to Google the images to figure out what the flags were. I didn't know there was an MLM flag just for men loving men.
Uh-huh.
Only for the, they had to bifurcate that out just for a special mm-hmm. flag. It says last year they had a row of more than a dozen of these flags up in the cafeteria. His friend group talked yesterday and they all agreed that people should be themselves and be treated with respect. But it is inappropriate to fill the school with flags about sexual attraction. Even the middle school kids understand.
There's a few sane kids making it through unscathed.
Yeah, my son was a little relieved to hear he wasn't the only one who feels this way. No, sane people, including many sane adults, see just what you see, that flying flags that specifically relate to sexual orientation and attraction is an odd thing, especially in a middle school. All right, let's get to a really unhinged, weird one here. All right, Everett School District. An employee at the Everett School District sent us this YouTube video that's been used in school for Pride Month activities and lessons. It's a video reading of a book called This Day in June, which I find funny. So rather than read the book in classes, they can't even read. So we're just going to play a video of someone else reading the book. This Day in June. They said, I'm writing this anonymously since I still work in the districts and any beliefs that differ from their agenda are not welcomed. I work in the Everett School District. We've had big pushes lately to show Pride videos and read Pride books to our elementary students. So keep in mind who the audience here. We're going to go through some pages from this book, but keep in mind, this is for elementary students. The latest books we've been pushed to read in our primary K through 2 classes, mind you, are crazy. One of which we were provided a link to being read on YouTube to show in class. The book is titled This Day in June, and it's written for a 5 to 6 year old audience. The way they're trying to normalize provocative and sexual content toward our small children is insane and perverse. We are instructed over and over again to expose children to this and to, quote, be brave, okay? All right, so I'm not going to play the video, but I will. This is the front page, This Day in June, okay? And it's got, you know, everyone under the sun on it. Fine, nothing too concerning so far. All right, This Day in June, parade starts soon. Rainbow arches, joyful marches. And it's people, you know, celebrating a pride parade. All right, let's see here. Voices chanting, doggies panting. All right, okay. And then it's got the proud parent and the LGBTQ who's who, hair, all that stuff. Okay, let's keep going. I can't read this one, Nicole.
Clad in leather. Perfect.
Weather, I think. Perfect.
This is the...
Clad in leather. Perfect weather.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Clad in leather. Perfect leather. And it's got literally a guy in bondage. You see him there? There's a guy in sexual bondage in a children's book for... K mm-hmm. through second graders, okay? And I told you, we're getting more unhinged as we go along. This one will really piss off the Christians and the Catholics. Artists painting, sisters sainting. So there's a nun, and then there's like a drag queen nun. Some dude with a blue face and a beard. Artists painting, sisters sainting.
Not actual sisters.
They're one of them might be. But the saints, the saints slash nuns, they're not at the pride parades, okay? Now,
the one that looks like a nun, like an actual nun without the blue face, has whiskers. So I don't think that's supposed to be an actual nun.
Oh, it's a transgender nun then.
Probably.
Artist painting, sisters sainting.
I don't think transgender nuns are a thing.
Okay, keep in mind, this is being read to kindergartners, first graders, and second graders.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next one. The pride parade continues. There's two dudes kissing, and it says, loving kisses, so delicious.
Again, normalizing
sexuality, which is just loving kisses, so delicious. That doesn't even really rhyme, actually.
I know.
That doesn't even really rhyme.
The kids don't want to think about kissing men, women. I mean, they get grossed out when their parents kiss. It's not like, it just is so ridiculous.
Yeah. And then the last page has a gay wedding. It says, this day in June, we're all united. No, we're not. I'm not.
Not on this.
Because I'm not in support of this. So keep sending us what's happening in your kids' schools on Pride Month. Because we told you guys, make sure you reach out to your schools, reach out to your kids' teachers, ask them what, if any, Pride lessons or curriculum or events are going to happen, just so you're aware. And maybe if you don't want your kindergartner to be read a book that has a guy in bondage and drag queen nuns and people kissing so delicious, maybe you have time to opt out of it. We warned you, right? So keep sending those in. Please. All right, we'll get to some national, unbelievable. We'll get to some national news coming up next. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, maybe you've had enough and you're ready to move to another state, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. I always say, reach out to a few real estate agents. It's one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make in your life, who to go with to sell your home and selling your home, maybe because you're going to retire or move somewhere else. So by all means, you know, get a second, third, fourth opinion, but make one of them Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Wes is awesome. He's just a cool dude. He's been doing this for a long time. He's been through the market ups and downs, and he is going to do what needs to be done to make sure you get the top dollar for your home, even if that means helping you on the front end with some cosmetic upgrades that he thinks you'll get the value out of on the back end. So he'll manage the projects, he'll help manage the contractors, and if you need to, you don't even have to pay for those upgrades until closing, which takes a lot of financial stress out of the process if you just can't come out of pocket right away. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Go there, start by using their home value calculator to see how much your home is worth, and then ask Wes for a free market analysis so we can kind of set your expectations about the market, how things are doing in your neighborhood, etc. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. All right, so really quickly, what's happening in California? The blame game for Donald Trump continues, which again, and well, you'll hear it from Karen Bass here. So LA Mayor Karen Bass, who, why is she still in office after the wildfires? That's insane. But, you know, she's saying very clearly that the chaos that Trump brought, in their opinion, isn't really, I don't even think she really thinks it's about calling in the National Guard, because there was chaos before that. So how long can you continue to perpetrate that lie? But really, she's blaming just lawful immigration enforcement as being the thing that sparked chaos.
We need to stop the raids. There should not be happening in our city. It is not warranted, and it does any. The only thing it does is contribute to chaos. This was chaos that was started at Washington, D.C. On Thursday, the city was peaceful. On Friday, it was not, because of the intervention of the federal government.
So she really thinks that we need to stop the raids. Okay, so they arrested. They've been releasing the names of people they arrested in these raids that Karen Bass wants to stop. Again, rapists, murderers, drug traffickers, domestic abusers, all measure of criminals. And she's not using any nuance there. She could very easily use nuance and say, hey, you know, federal agents need to be able to arrest violent criminals and send them back to their countries, but we don't support the broader raids. But they're incapable of using nuance. Even Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal was in D.C. Monday, was it? And she was, let all the detained immigrants go. All of them? Even the guy who, like, killed two teenagers at a high school party in 1994 and injured seven other people with a weapon of war, as you call it? That guy gets to leave, too? That's nuts. Like, use some nuance. I disagree with your whole interpretation of what's happening with the raids, but at least use some nuance, or else you're literally telling us that you don't want them to arrest violent criminals, which I guess maybe they don't. We have a new video that just came out where, so of course, looting has been happening there, where, again, she's blaming not the criminals who choose to use cover of a riot to loot, which they're just criminals, right? This happens every time, is they see an opportunity where police are distracted, they take advantage of it, and they go in and they loot. And even that's Donald Trump's fault, apparently, according to Karen Bass.
A week ago, everything was peaceful.
Good God.
In the city of Los Angeles and in all of the representatives behind me in their cities as well. Things began to be difficult on Friday when raids took place. And it's important that I begin there, because that is the cause of the problems that have happened in the city of Los Angeles and other cities. This was provoked by the White House. The reason why, we don't know.
So you believe that enforcing the law, if it provokes criminals to act out, we shouldn't enforce the law? Okay. So does that go for everything or just federal immigration agents? Because there's a lot of criminals who don't like you enforcing the law. I mean, there are many riots that have started in your city that had nothing to do with federal immigration enforcement. So who provoked them? Because you're not, and this is, again, you're distancing responsibility. So now it's not the rioters' fault. It's not the criminal wrongdoers. They're not to blame. And so they've convinced themselves they're not to blame because the mayor is telling them that they're not responsible for their actions. Trump is. These people are insane. How do these people get elected? Have we lost our minds as voters? I mean, is it really just the bottom of the barrel and nobody wants to run for these jobs? So we end up with a Karen Bass and a Gavin Newsom and a Bob Ferguson? Good grief. This one really got me, though. It angers me because, again, I'm thinking of the peaceful citizens who mind their own business, pay their taxes, are just trying to get to A to B, raise a family, run a business. And they're the ones who get screwed over in all of this and all this political bickering and covering for rioters. So, you know, there's one video in particular that really struck me of this. She looked Hispanic to me, who was trying to sweep out her looted business, the whole thing destroyed, everything stolen. And she's like, this is a lifetime of work just gone. Lifetime of work just gone. Who's advocating for people like her? I mean, certainly not Karen Bass. And in fact, now Karen Bass is shaming those business owners into saying, it's on you. It's on you to clean up this mess and to make the city look good in time for the World Cup.
The graffiti that is just blanketing a number of blocks has been extensive. We are 1 year away from the World Cup.
Oh, God.
This is about beautifying
about
our
right
city
now.
And bringing our city together. And so I am calling on business leaders, community leaders, faith leaders to come together downtown in the next few days to talk about how we are going to clean up the city. Obviously, city workers are already out there removing the graffiti, but this is so extensive, it's going to take community-wide involvement. We had launched a program called Shine LA a couple of months ago in preparation for the World Cup, and now we are called on to direct that citywide. We need people from all over the city to come to downtown and to help with this effort.
What do you even say to that? And she doesn't even realize how stupid she sounds. The riots are still actively happening. More looting is actively happening. And she's talking about the World Cup? It's just like in Seattle, where before the MLB All-Star game, they swept out all the tents and then the tents came back right afterwards because they don't care. It's all about optics, right? I'm okay with you wanting to clean up businesses and, you know, looting and all that stuff. And I'm sure a lot of those business owners, they're not going to wait for you, Karen Bass. Because then they'd be like the people who had their homes burned down in the fires, and they'd wait 10 years for you to allow them to rebuild. Because there's a slow aspect of government here. You have a track record of this. So I'm sure they are cleaning up their own businesses. I'm sure they are cleaning up their own graffiti. You don't have to tell them to do that. They're already out there doing that because you couldn't control the rioters. And because you'd rather blame Donald Trump than make sure that LAPD was empowered to do what needed to be done early on so it didn't get to a point where Trump had to call in the National Guard and the Marines. Incompetent leadership. And it's like, what do these businesses pay taxes for? What do they all freaking pay taxes for? Public safety, right? For police to keep their businesses safe, which they're not willing to do or not able to do, because again, they're handcuffed by the politicians. And then when it does happen and they don't do that, now you're basically shaming the businesses. Everyone needs to pitch in and clean this up. Not for the sake of our city, but for the World Cup. Good God.
Oh, and are you asking faith leaders who you told were, or you said were responsible for last week's rioting?
Yeah. Now you want them to step up? And look, some of these LA businesses, I am sure that they've been lockstep with the progressives. We see the businesses in Seattle that support all this, cheer it on, and they're like, oh, my business got vandalized. Now it's not fun anymore. But I'm not going to paint them all with a broad brush because I don't think every single business owner is supporting that stuff. And there are some people, you know, I was watching this video of these like all Indian guys who were just trying to hold the doors of the 7-Eleven they own shut while all these rioters were trying to find their way in, like no cops in sight. And it's just insane. And again, whose side of that altercation is Karen Bass on? Whose side is Gavin Newsom on? They're on the side of the rioters. There's no one coming to help those business owners, immigrant business owners, by the way. Unreal. All right, let's continue a national with another California story, not related to the riots, but stupid nonetheless. All right, so you guys remember, feels like forever ago now, when Gavin Newsom was like pretending to be moderate for a month, when he was like, started his podcast, and he was having conservatives on his podcast because he genuinely wanted to have conversations with them. And he genuinely wanted to find common ground. And he was saying some really sane things all of a sudden. I mean, now he's just left that all behind him. He's abandoned that entirely. But one of the people he had on was Charlie Kirk. And he made this admission during this conversation that I think we even talked about on the show, like, good for him, where he came out as a pretty prominent figure in the Democratic Party and admitted that he thinks it's unfair for boys to compete against girls.
So, like, you right now should come out and be like, you know what? The young man who's about to win the state championship in the long jump in female sports,
that
shouldn't happen. You as the governor should step out say no.
No, and I appreciate. But
would you do something like that? Would you say no men in female sports?
Well, I think it's an issue of fairness. I completely agree with you on that. So that's easy to call out, the unfairness of that.
Okay, great. And we're like, that's sane. Good for him. It's easy to call out, although that was the first time he was ever doing it. So now fast forward a couple weeks, California, Gavin Newsom, the state of California is literally suing the DOJ to keep trans athletes in women's sports, to keep men competing against girls. What happened, Gavin? You figured out the moderate thing wasn't working too well with the base, and so you've abandoned it entirely? This is exhibit one. This will be exhibit A from the DOJ in this lawsuit. The governor of California said it's unfair. Here's the tape. Roll the tape. So why are they suing us so that they can keep letting boys play against girls? Doesn't get much dumber than that. But I really think Gavin's like, oh, 2028, they want a moderate. And then nobody really, he doesn't come across as genuine or sincere. And people want authenticity, which there's authenticity, the opposite of that. If you need, what's the word for something that's the opposite? Somebody's going to yell at me in the comments.
The opposite.
Whatever the opposite is of authenticity.
Antithesis?
No, it's like a word. Anyway, it's not important. Gavin Newsom. The least authentic. He gave like an address to the nation last night. And you could tell she was trying so hard to cry. And he just looked creepy and lizard-like. And yes, I'm apparently totally all in. Like, if anybody's a lizard, it's Gavin Newsom. It's like he's wearing a skin suit. Absolutely insane. Sorry, I can't remember the word. It's not important. It's not important. We won't belabor it. All right, we'll get to our daily subscribers show poll coming up next and our sanity check, which just warms my heart. I needed something to warm my heart to end the show today after all of this nonsense. All of us are working toward retirement. That's sort of life, right? We work and work and work and hope that we can have a good enough retirement to have a few decades really enjoying our life. And so it's never been more important to protect your retirement, to make sure that you're properly protected against risk. There's always some risk involved in investment, obviously, but Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwer Capital specialize in managing risk. And one of the things he was telling us is if people have been looking at their 401ks during these ups and downs in the market and the tariff discussions and all of that, and they're just like horrified and they've seen these massive swings, he said that's a really good indicator about their exposure to risk and their allocations needing to be adjusted. And so get a second opinion, totally free. Reach out to Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwer Capital and just have him take a look at it and say, hey, Brandy told me to go to you for a second opinion. What do you think? And he'll give you his honest opinion about it. You only get one retirement. We only get one retirement. We want to make sure that we can have the retirement that we've dreamed of. So get your second opinion today. Schedule a free Know Your Risk portfolio review with Zach and his team at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Don't put it off. Every major event that happens, could be exposing your portfolio if it's not properly managed against risk. Okay, let's see here. Let's get to our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals, and X, which welcome to all our new subscribers. You guys are committed to helping me reach our goal of adding 300 paid subscribers. We are 31 away, okay? 31 away, and we have 2 more days, okay? All right. For all you who've been hanging on, waiting, for whatever reason. All right, our subscriber poll today. Do you support the use of active duty military members to respond to riots in U.S. cities? No? Yes, but only to protect federal agents and property, or yes, to enforce laws and quell riots. So in a broader law enforcement capacity. And I see Nicole really noodling on this one over there. You look really pretty today, by the way.
Oh, wow.
We both matched without intending. We've got our light blue on.
We do.
Light blue is a good color for blondes. You know? I think blondes shine in light blue.
Thank you.
What do you think? No, yes or yes?
I want to go with yes to enforce laws and quell riots, but I'm going to go with only to protect Fed agents and property because I just think that's the America that we need to live in. Mm-hmm. But I just think this needs to be squashed. And so they've got to step, like the local police departments, the states have got to stop this. Yeah. This is out of control.
It is. I agree with you. I think... You know, if we're talking about legality of it, I think it has to be to protect federal agents in property only. Now, could I change my mind on this? If we had a situation that truly was out of control, that local law enforcement could not maintain order, and they invited and they said, we need to, whatever you have, send it our way. I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that we could have unrest so severe that something needs to happen. I mean, like a civil war type situation. Mm-hmm. But the idea is, you know, that we shouldn't have U.S. military being used on U.S. soil against U.S. civilians. I mean, I don't think that that's an ideal situation, you know, and that really is what the Second Amendment is for. So you can rise a militia and protect yourself against, you know, the government taking up arms against civilians. So I think we'd be getting into some very... very slippery territory if we were just to say, yeah, come on in. Now, I don't know what to do if you have, like, the Seattle Police Department led by this now who I recognize as a total coward who's not letting them protect people. Like, we pay federal taxes. All right, if you won't protect us, send in the feds to protect us. So I could change my mind, but for right now, I think just to protect federal agents and property. Mm-hmm. People are pretty split. 6% saying no, not at all. 39% saying yes, only to protect federal agents and property, and 56%, the majority, saying yes, to act in a broader law enforcement capacity to quell riots. Papa, what he said, I had your comment, and then it just, here. Absolutely, and I voted yes, with a clause, if the governors and mayors are a sanctuary city and state, then they are not following rules and laws to protect the cities and counties and states' best interests and safety. Also, if they're rioting and destroying public and taxpayer-funded buildings and property, I believe it's imperative, and especially if local law enforcement has been told to stand down and allow this destructive and violent behavior to continue. Y said, I was a bit torn, but this is a border crisis which endangers our national security. I'd say yes to being a border law agency. And also, as the White House press secretary pointed out, many of the rioters being arrested in California are illegal aliens.
Which I find that so interesting.
It's really
dumb.
I'm
going to go break the law so I like to fight people being caught and deported. But really, that's just putting me right in front of an officer to get deported.
Caught and deported more quickly. So maybe the Trump administration should be grateful. It's really brought a lot of the illegals right to the feet of federal agents. But yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, what we're dealing with is a foreign incursion into our country on American soil. So I do believe there's some use for the military there, but I think it has to be very strictly regulated because I just worry about what kind of path we could go down. Danielle, I've never seen Danielle spelt that way. Danielle, like Danielle. Interesting. Absolutely. If the state refuses to protect the community, property, armed federal agents, and the federal government does have to do it. If you don't, it just gets worse and the left becomes further insane. Can they get any more insane than they've become? Kamala says, I support them being used to secure a home base for agents to pull back to. I do think putting them on the streets would be nothing but political fodder for the tyrannical claims of the left. And I'll say, though, conservatives are the ones who are, you know, supposed to be the sort of adherence to the Constitution and, you know, Second Amendment, and they make the argument that we should be able to have these weapons of war that the left tries to ban, because if the government ever tries to, you know, come after us with the military, we need to have weapons that can allow us to be able to protect ourselves. So, you know, is it a little bit of hypocrisy from conservatives to welcome so easily and so readily the military and the involvement of the military?
It's unprovoked, right? Like, you don't want them to use any force against you unprovoked, but these people are provoking.
But like, who gets to decide what is a bad enough threat to have the military used against civilians? You know, could it, because because you could turn around and have a Democratic president who wants to use the military to enforce COVID mandates. Yeah. And have the military patrolling the streets to keep people in their homes during lockdowns and curfews. I'm not okay with that.
No. I think that right now, it's funny because I was noticing, I mean, you were over there getting, you know, fumes in your face and all of these attacks happening. And I was just a few blocks over at the Paramount seeing Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Right? So I think the thing is, if it starts to spread, if it's uncontained, if it's uncontrollable in that sense, then you have to bring it back to where you can control it in this area. And I mean, really, Seattle PD, we saw them a couple weeks ago, be very, very strategic in controlling the crowds. Like they were in very specific spaces and they did not leave that area. And right now, as Antifa and all of these protesters, I mean, they're staying in the space that's given them. Now they're creating havoc inside those spaces, but I think that's where like things will change for me if it gets uncontrollable and you don't know where it's coming and nobody can protect themselves right now. I mean, you know, you just stay outside of your area in the Mamma Mia like realm, then, and not go into those blocks, and then you're in your safe zone, right? But if there is no longer a safe zone, then I think that brings on another.
You know, I hadn't even thought about that. I knew you were up at the Paramount, but here I am, like, choking on OC canister spray. And Nicole's like, Mamma Mia, here we go again. Sipping us, like, two blocks away. Screw you, dude. Oh, I'm just
plans.
Kidding. I had plans. Fine. It's fine. My sister commented, yes, on this show, we read comments from my family. Mm-hmm. Protect the federal buildings and personnel, but otherwise just let LA burn. The Dems reap what they sow. Wow, Miranda's been... What comes after Blackpilled, by the way? I've been red-pilled. I'm black-pilled now. What comes after that? Just nihilism? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what comes after that. So, all right. Yes. So most of you say you'd welcome it. I think if the city welcomed it and said, things are so bad, we need the military, then I think all bets are off. Like the city or the state has welcomed it, and then the separation or the state's power sort of issue sort of goes away. So there's a lot of it's not so cut and dry, basically. All right. We will get to comments and our closing sanity check, which will just really warm your heart, I think. It's a feel-good thing that we needed today. First, if you get a renewal notice from your insurance company and your rates are going up, stop what you're doing. Don't just say, okay, I got to live with that, because you don't have to live with it. You don't. Call First Mark Insurance. Reach out to them. FirstMarkInsurance.com. Take the First Mark Challenge. They'll take a look at your insurance. They'll go out. They'll shop their market of carriers. They'll advocate for you for free. You never pay First Mark anything. And they'll come back and they'll make their recommendations. And they might say, actually, you know, yeah, you're probably going to have to pay more for insurance. We can't help beat those prices. Or they'll come back like they've done for so many Undivided viewers and listeners. And they'll say, guess what? We can save you hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year. And then guess what? You'll become a member of the First Mark family, like our friend Brock Heward, former UW quarterback and sports radio host.
Yeah, you are technically their customer, but you will find this out when you make that call. They're your teammate right alongside with you, only wanting the best for you and rooting for the best for you and taking away all the stress and confusion that comes with this crazy insurance world.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, is just having sort of a teammate on your side who's going to take care of and manage it all for you. It really does take the stress out of it. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you. All right, comments from the Yahoos watching live.
What? Just making fun of our people.
I love them and they love me, I think. Most of you, right? You guys, they were mean to me last night. They were way meaner to Katie Davis Court. I was letting you know, like, it's been a long time since I covered, like, was in the field. I don't go into the field very much anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been since really I left Fox 13 and haven't been covering protests and riots. I mean, part of it is we do a live show every day. It's kind of hard to break away. But I was incognito for a while. I was able to move around without much of a notice. And then once they realize it's you, then they're kind of mean. But man, mm-hmm. they were brutal to Katie.
You
Davis
were wearing
Court.
A hat, so.
Well, yeah,
I think
put my hair up, wore a hat. Although the hat said my name on it.
It did. Although I
had an Undivided hat.
I eventually saw some posts where they were like, Brandy's in black shorts, black top, and a black hat with a ponytail.
Yeah, go get her.
Go get her.
Yeah.
And then for... like, I guess any Asian guy down there was being called Cho.
Jonathan Cho. And Cho didn't get there till like 9 p.m. And then he stayed sort of incognito. But I was going to, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it's just the ridiculous Antifa types. And, you know, they walk around and they're black and they look so stupid. They look so stupid, and I just want to look at them, and they'll harass you and get in your face, and it's a very childish, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, like, you know, give me some space here. But I'll say it, and I shouldn't say this because then they're going to know that it pisses me off and they're just going to do it again. To the dumb you-know-what who was pouring orange Gatorade on me all night, I hate you. And I wanted so bad to punch you right in the throat, but my security guard wouldn't let me. Okay. Because then he said, well, then I'm going to have to step in and we don't, and then they're never going to get back up. And I was like, okay, fair enough. Yeah. My white shoes were ruined. Ruined.
Yeah. That's anyway. No good.
I know.
It's no celebratory. Good. You're supposed to dump Gatorade when you win. Does that mean you won?
I don't know. It was really gross though. My whole legs were sticky. It got on my security guard's phone, which was sticky all night. Yeah. Everything was sticky. So I got home, I stripped naked in the, yeah, I'll just tell you guys everything. So I get home, because I've gone through this OC spray crap before. Mm-hmm. And one time I made the mistake of when I was working at Cairo News Radio, like when I was like 21 in the city and the Occupy movement stuff were happening. I made the mistake, it was the first time I'd ever been hit with pepper spray. And I got a pretty direct spray, right? I remember I had this jacket on and I had sort of taken it off. It was like my news jacket, right? Mm-hmm. At some point I had taken it off, left it in my news car. And a year later, put it back on for the same riots. It was May Day, actually. Same May Day. And it was like I got hit all over again. It was like I was reliving it. So what I did when I got home, I took my shoes off that are just ruined, left them in the garage. Get in my front door, stripped fully naked. All that went straight into the wash for a super mm-hmm. cycle. And then I got up and I took a shower because, you know, wasn't going to crawl into bed with my husband covered in orange Gatorade and OC spray. Anyway, Papa Woody, $2 super chat. If I had an extra $500, I would super chat it. Well, we appreciate you nonetheless. You give us plenty of super chats. Shyamalong, a ding dong. Brandy, come on. We knew Anne was lying at the time to get elected. I don't know, because getting elected as a Republican hard on crime person isn't really the flavor in Seattle. So I actually thought that made her less electable, but the person she was running against was so unhinged crazy that she got in. Cynthia, send in the military, shut it down. USA, USA, USA. Dennis Armstrong, if they could handle it, it would be handled. The new SPD chief might be special ed. Not all Marines were created equal, and he got that soft look of an S1 POG. I don't know what that means, but he's a Marine. Was a Marine?
He claims he is. Yeah, well, I'm sure he is if he's claiming it, but he claims it in that cut.
Oh, he
said, I used to be a Marine.
Oh, mm-hmm. Gotcha. I didn't hear that
or
part.
I was. I
once
think
a Marine, always a Marine.
I know, but I think he says I was a Marine. So
wow,
I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, I've heard things about where he came from. I believe he came from Milwaukee, where mm-hmm. that judge was arrested. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. But I have heard things that people did not like him in Milwaukee. When we were in D.C., we had some people from Milwaukee around us, and they were telling us how, good luck with that one, because we just got more, we're happy to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah, he serves at the pleasure of Mayor Harrell. So when you serve at the pleasure of a mayor and you want to keep your job, you're going to align your politics with that person. You just are. It's ridiculous.
Harrell's the biggest disappointment. I think Anne is a disappointment, but really, so far, it's just words.
Yeah.
But Harrell's really big disappointment.
Yeah. All right, Two Ladies Midwest Adventures. Brandy, we're seeing the extreme leftist getting energized by these riots, not including we are seeing them try to ramp up these riots to spread across the U.S. Please stay safe, you all. We will try. L3001, very creative. USP, World Cup? There isn't going to be a World Cup. At this point, it's going to be a world war. Yeah. Marla, she lets these crazies tear up the city and then wants John Q. Public to come in and clean it up. This lady, Karen Bass, is certifiably crazy. I agree. Insane. Jesse, Brandy, you are doing God's work. Thank you for exposing the ludicrous. I miss Seattle, but not really. Yeah. I don't. Although I did take a break. My security thought this was so funny. I took a break mid-riot. There was a lull. And I was like, I need something to eat. And of course, I'm bougie, right? So I went to this place and I got oysters on the half shell.
You got
and
oysters?
Like, yeah, I was like, so here I'm at this like fancy place. Yeah, I love oysters. I got some, I'm like close enough to watch the riot, right? I'm like, just sipping my oysters and my, I got some garlic fries. I'm just sipping my oysters.
I wish somebody would have taken a picture of you.
It was very elegante.
With the, like, Antifa over here and eating oysters.
It was very elegante. All right. Good comments per the usual. Nicole, thank you. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. Oh, I needed this today. I needed this. The world is healing, and Elon Musk has extended an olive branch to President Donald Trump. His tweet was very simple. I regret some of my posts about President Trump last week. They went too far. Oh, I hope the bromance can continue. You know, Elon, it takes a brave stand-up guy to admit when he's wrong.
That's right.
And I'm glad you could do it because, as you once said, you love Donald Trump more than a straight man could love another straight man. And I just want that bromance to continue. It's good for the country.
I know.
It's good for the country.
I really think Trump has kept his cool during this little argument.
And
that's what's helped him come to this realization. Because last week when he said, you know, I wish him well, it's all right. And then Elon tweeted a little heart.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's helpful.
Yeah, so I think Trump will keep him at arm's length for a while.
Yeah.
And then maybe welcome him back into the fold.
Oh, maybe we just like get along.
Maybe we all just get along. I love it. We don't need that, Elon. We don't need you tearing down Donald Trump. Because we're going to side with Donald Trump. I hate to say it. All right. That has been your closing sanity check. A reminder, if I could plug one more time, I know you're sick of it, but I just got to reach this goal. I set a goal of adding 300 new paid subscribers. A lot of people watch and listen to the show who aren't subscribers. We would love for you to help support this work. We do 5 shows a week now. We're doing a lot of stuff and it helps us continue to do it full time. This is our full time job after all. So if you want to support the show for $5 a month for 2 more days, we have that 30% off promo. Nicole, can you pop that up? Do you have it? We have that 30% off promo. Just use the number 300. Go to patreon.com/undivided. That's patreon.com/undivided. We're like 30 away from our goal. We're so close. So if you've been holding out, now's the time. This is a killer deal. I think it'll end up costing you maybe like $47 or $50 or something like that for an entire year. So patreon.com/undivided.
Just something fun. I just got a note from Jesse Waters people and they want to use one of your videos. So
tell
watch Jesse Waters tonight.
Use it away. Anything you need. We appreciate it. I like Jesse Waters. He puts on a great show. I mean, he really does weave a good tale. I like the way he starts his show. All right. I don't know if we're going to be out covering the riot tonight. That's expected. I can't say in advance because I don't want them to stock up on orange Gatorade now that they know it bothers me. But I'm going to wear some water shoes, I think. So it just goes right through them.
There you go.
Because I was sloshing around. I had orange Gatorade in my shoe all night. Wouldn't come out. It's just disgusting. But the things I do for you guys while Nicole's at the Paramount watching Mamma Mia. What the hell? Anyway, love you guys. Appreciate you. That's it. That's really it. I got nothing else. We'll see you tomorrow.